Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Wednesday, November 13th, 2019, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070, WKOK. Sean Carey here, and Steve will be there in just a few in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And you can also subscribe to our free podcast. We're on the Apple Podcast app and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. After the shows are here on WKOK, we can drop them into your smartphone and tablet. Take them with you. Listen to them anytime, anywhere. Also, you can get access to 3 months of previous shows by going to our website, stevejonesshow.com, and click Podcast Archive. So we're with you live till 5, and we'll have our late-day news roundup and CBS Sports Radio tonight here on WKOK. Bill Bender from the Sporting News, national college football writer, joining us later on in this half hour at 3:35. Next hour, we'll play the second half of the James Franklin press conference that was held yesterday afternoon in the media room at Beaver Stadium. And we'll also get some NFL talk rolling in his weekly appearance on The Steve Jones Show. Neil Coulong from TheSteelersWire.com, TouchdownWire.com, and USA Today. Well, the NCAA's investigation into Ohio State defensive end Chase Young has ended. The results, a two-game suspension. Ohio State announced today that Young will miss one more game, the Rutgers game this Saturday. He will be eligible to return in time for the November 23rd showdown against Penn State in Ohio Stadium. Young was suspended indefinitely ahead of last week's game against Maryland for accepting a loan from a person Young described as a family friend whom he had known since the summer before his freshman year in Columbus. Young called it a mistake, and though the loan was repaid in full over the summer, it still counted as an impermissible benefit in the eyes of the NCAA. Few details have been released regarding the loan, including who it came from and the amount of the cash. Wasn't clear how long Young would be suspended. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic reported the loan was given so Young's girlfriend could attend the Rose Bowl last year. If the loan was more than $800, the suspension could have been up to 4 games. Ohio State vigorously sought reinstatement for its star player and would likely have appealed the NCAA's decision had it been 4 games. And very good chances that Chase Young could be the overall number one pick, or at least a top five pick for sure, in the 2020 NFL draft. Top prospect leading the nation with 13.5 sacks in 8 games. And some NFL news. Christopher Johnson is the CEO of the New York Jets. He claims that Adam Gase is going to stay despite a 2-7 record and a lot of fan upheaval. Christopher Johnson giving a strong vote of confidence to his head coach, declaring that at least as of now, Adam Gase would be back next season. Let's get through this season first. You have 7 more games. Johnson revealed that he shared the same feelings with the team last Wednesday, 3 days after an embarrassing loss to the previous winless Miami Dolphins. Gase was hired in January, largely because of his offensive acumen. He has presided over one of the worst offenses in franchise history. Johnson spoke publicly for the first time since a new general manager was hired in June, calling this season so far, quote-unquote, exceedingly frustrating But yeah, commended Adam Gase for keeping the team from fracturing.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Really?
Adam Gase, his guy.
Is this Chris Elio you're quoting? Or
Not to be confused with Chris Elio, Chris Johnson. CEO of the franchise.
Elio is not quite convinced. Even though he thinks Sam Darnold's Joe Namath, and he never saw Joe Namath play a game. Right, so,
I just want to make it perfectly clear on this platform. I did not strategically throw Chris Elio onto the show on purpose the day after the Jets-Dolphins game. he was planned ahead of time, weeks in advance, to be on the show with you that day.
First of all, Elio's a pro's pro that I personally like. People say, oh, you two, you have no idea how much I like Chris.
It's spirited when you two go back and forth.
But it's out of fun.
Absolutely.
Nothing serious about it. Because I really like Chris a lot, and you can kind of jab him a little bit because his teams really are bad. So, I mean,
that's true.
It's about the making fun of the teams, not of Chris. It's just, but my goodness, his teams are bad. it's just not good.
You did not say something inaccurate. That's very true.
No, that's my problem. Is this. You allowed someone to change your perception where now I think you need an intervention.
Yes, that was a momentary lapse of, I really don't know what that was at the end of yesterday's show. But it felt good afterwards, just getting that out of my system. And we cleansed the palate, we're good to go.
We just need to know if you're still on for the Tom McGrath tailgate.
Absolutely. 100. Right. I told you on Monday here on the show, 100% in. Texted Gary back. Yeah, we're there.
Gary asked me last night.
Okay.
If it was real.
Really?
And I said, I believe it's real. I said, but the problem that we're having is at the end of the show, he started sounding like T.S. I feel like the tide's turning. You just want to make sure you're all right.
Oh, we're fine.
I'm concerned.
No, we're good to go.
So, because
what happened on the show yesterday stayed on the show. I didn't get in the car and, hop off the mile run exit of Interstate 80 and yell at the trees. It wasn't that dire
because,
of a situation.
No offense, that's the only thing that's on the mile run exit.
Exit 199. Oh, man. Okay. Passed that too many times over the years.
Can somebody tell me where that goes?
I did turn off the mile run exit.
And
I decided to take the road. Actually, there's a road that runs parallel to Interstate 80, and it actually eventually then dips under Interstate 80, and it takes you into White Deer Township, Union County. So there's a road or two. There's like another road that will get you up onto Route 15 from there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I was curious because
I've gone past it. I've gone past it a million times.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and number one, I never see anybody get off. I never see anybody get on.
Well, I see that road to the right when I'm traveling 80 east. I see the road to the right. Okay, where is that road? Okay, that's the road you take when you can hop off Mile Run, and eventually it can take you back over to Route 15.
Okay.
Yep.
Wonderful. I had always...
But it's not wondered. The smoothest of roads. I will say that. It's kind of...
I find that shocking.
Yeah. But yeah, there was one time I was running early one morning, and I think I'm going to take this road just out of curiosity where it leads me. And it's like, oh, okay. But then you get out of the woods, and then you're down under Interstate 80, go under the overpass, and then you go into White Deer.
Okay, just so you know, I was never curious. I never I just kind of wondered, but really that's where it ended. I was not going to get off the highway at that point. Chase Young will play against Penn State. It's a two-game suspension. I have no problem with the NCAA coming to a quick decision on this. Zero. I have no problem with the fact that he's playing. Zero. Here's the problem I have. I don't understand the lack of consistency. Why did it take literally months to decide whether Curtis Jones could play for Penn State in basketball, and they didn't inform him until 90 minutes before the game, and it took them hours to figure out Chase Young? Why couldn't a guy with a 3.2 grade point average, a degree, who earned his previous institution 2 APR points, need so much time to be determined eligible to play basketball here, and it took them just hours to do this? And again, no problem with them taking hours to do this. Curtis Jones should have taken hours as well. Hours. That's my issue, the lack of consistency.
And it doesn't matter if you're talking a football program, a basketball program.
Right.
If you're in any school in a Power 5 conference, I mean, come on. I mean, each should be treated equally.
Right. I mean, that's the part that bothered me, is that Curtis Jones, right, was left wondering for weeks and months. You know, Penn State was holding him out. When it came time to scrimmage, they held him out. When it came time to play the exhibition game, they held out. And I'm at shoot around the day of the Maryland Eastern Shore game, and I said, looked at Patrick. I said, "Have you heard yet?" He says, "No." He says, "We don't know yet." And this was 3.5 hours before the game. Right? Now, why does he have to wait so long? Now, I realize there's different circumstances here. Right? Why couldn't his deal been resolved in a few days? Right. Again, this is nothing against Chase Young. Zero. I'm glad he's going to be able to play, and I'm glad they resolved it as quickly as they did. But I don't understand why it took so long to take the other thing so long. Hey, how about some consistency when certain things become obvious to you?
It just makes you wonder how they prioritize, what they prioritize, and what they feel they deem to move quickly on. And, oh, okay, this other player, nah, no big deal. Well, you know, this isn't a... It's not going to concern us right now. We got other fish to fry.
Right. I mean, again, a guy with a 3.2 grade point average that earned his previous institution 2 APR points. Shouldn't this take just a few days to sit back and go, okay, we're done? Now, it turned out all fine, but why does he have to wait until an hour and a half before the game? Right? You had a long time. This was sitting on somebody's desk for a long time. Chase Young, on the other hand, yes, in terms of, you know, the national outcry and so forth, I got that, okay? That's why I respect the fact that it was done as quickly as it was done. I just don't understand why a different case took months when that different case was pretty obvious how it should go. I mean, common sense tells you it should have been pretty obvious. Just throwing that out there just as a discussion point. And we've got to get you back on track where you're Sean Carey and not trying to be somebody you're not. You cannot be Mr. 297. You are the 300 guy in our book here.
Love it.
I mean, you are our 300 guy. Okay? In the clutch, you knock them all down, as opposed to tweaking a hamstring and leaving three up.
Oh, so that's what happened. Okay. I didn't think there was a physical injury on that 12th roll that night in that crucial game.
Trying to think if it was a hamstring or it was above the neck.
Advantage push.
You people are cruel. I'm carrying this whole place. Just ask me.
One of my high school classmates, he used to manage the bowling alley in Lock Haven. He doesn't own it anymore. He sold it. But okay. I could just make, man, could have made just one phone call to him. I could have got three pins just like that for us.
The day is young.
That's true.
All right.
Actually, I may see him next Wednesday night, so I have to run something past him.
I have cash. Willing to peel a little to make this happen. No, not a lot, but I'm willing to peel a little.
Yeah, It's only three pins. I mean, you know.
I mean, really? I mean, we'll take three used ones, please.
Right. We don't need three newbies off the assembly line here.
Well, actually, wouldn't it be more effective if we had three newbies off the assembly line saying they look brand new because they had never been hit?
Not and a again, dent in them.
And again, we can laugh about this because I could bowl 10 strings and not get 297. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hey, you. It's time for Sunbury Motors to eat their remaining 2019 Ford leftovers. Choose from over 20 of the hot-selling Ford Escapes for as low as $17,585. Love compact SUVs? Sunbury Motors has the leader of the pack. The 2019 Ford 4x4 EcoSport slashed to just $20,525. SMC would give these away, but they know you'd feel guilty. Take up to $9,000 off new 2019 Ford Edges, up to $10,000 off new Ford 2019 Fusions, and up to an amazing $12,000 off on new 2019 Ford Expeditions. That's a whole lot of amazing. Pick from over 65 new 2019 leftover F-150s with total savings up to $14,750 off MSRP on 4x4 Super Cruise. Feast on Sunbury Motors 2019 Ford leftovers by November 30th before they're all gone. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central PA for 105 years. Gobble, gobble, hey.
The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Touchdown, Penn State, and the Nittany Lions take the lead.
Penn State football is sponsored by Murray Motor Chevrolet, Earth Energy Innovations, Regisseur Chevrolet, First National Insurance, Sealands Grove Ford, Mart's Game Farm, Purdy Insurance Agency. The Nittany Lions take on Indiana Saturday in Beaver Stadium on Military Appreciation Day. Kickoff is noon. We're on beginning at 10:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Feel like we've got Sean back on track. I mean, you got a team that has no expectations in the Steelers. I mean, none. And I've tried to convince Sean of that. Now he feels like he has expectations. And now I think I've got him back on track where he can now enjoy and appreciate the wins, as opposed to the, what would be a good word here? Vitriol?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
But I'd still love to see a quarterback sneak on a 4th-and-1 instead of standing 4 yards back behind the yard.
That's perfect. That's perfectly fine to discuss the nuances of the game, but you're getting on the verge of doing it with hate, and that's where you're being influenced.
Okay. I thought that was more of a tinge of concern in my voice and not hate, so but I apologize wrong way.
Because, I mean, like for example, like he tries to come off as a football expert, and then you talk to him a little bit more, and you find out he doesn't know if the ball's stuffed or inflated.
I mean,
so then it really does.
I mean, when I'm on
the argument.
I mean, when I'm on the street or in the store, the last thing I want someone to come up to me and go, "You are a hater." It's like, no, I don't want that to happen.
No, okay. See, and that's where I feel like he owns that. Let's give him credit; he owns it. One of my favorite guys that I don't talk to enough is Bill Bender from Sporting News.
This is going to be great.
He's coming up next. He's going to be tremendous as always. Don't be a hater. Be a suit. Oh, I'm sorry. A message from this station at the Ad Council.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm actually going to Georgetown here shortly, Sean. I've got to go to D.C., there's a rumor going around.
Oh, what's happening?
That Adam Schiff might show up at the game.
Oh.
Do you want to know why?
Why is that?
Games on Fox Sports 1, TV cameras everywhere. All right, so Lawrence will be mad about that.
Sorry, he'll get over it. It's all good.
Yeah, he'll laugh. It's actually a pretty good joke. All right, this is a guy I don't talk to enough. He's one of the individuals that my depth of respect is so great for. Bill Bender. Bill, welcome back. It's great to have you with us.
I got the joke. I laughed. So, good. Keep going. How you doing, Steve? Way too long, man. Great to talk to you.
Way too long, Bill. Way too long. College football playoff, and I read your very thoughtful article about that. I want to ask you about the Georgia part. Because on the Georgia part, they've got the one loss. It's at home. Third-string quarterback, a long list of things. Why do you think it's a one-loss team? They are where they are.
Don't know. I think it's somewhat. I honestly think it's a little bit disingenuous because I think they are trying to avoid the Alabama question. And a mutual friend of ours, our basketball writer Mike DeCourcy, and I have been fighting about it for about a day because I said this is the cover they're going to use so they don't have to answer the Alabama question yet. And yet, that's the. Forgive the pun because I'm horrible, but the elephant in the committee room is the elephant. They really are because they don't know what to do with them.
Right. It's interesting because if you look at just pure resume one-loss teams, for example, Oregon and Utah, their resume doesn't stack up to Penn State's. But you can't put Penn State ahead of Minnesota because of last week. So I think there's a lot of things come into play here.
Oh, yeah. Well, Penn State still controls its playoff destiny. I think their destiny is separate from Alabama, if that makes any sense. Because I think the Big Ten champion and the road that Penn State has to go through now because they kind of made their own bed with the loss at Minnesota is they have to win out to get in. So any argument involving Penn State probably becomes a moot point if they can't go up to Columbus and win next week. Now, if they go up to Columbus and win, we might have some 2016 all over again in the Big Ten because Minnesota will be in that hunt. Ohio State will have a loss. I think Michigan's playing better football since the second half of Penn State. You have to wonder if they could give Ohio State a run. These are all questions that could get answered in the next 3 weeks. Or, Steve, or Ohio State could just obliterate everybody and end it that way.
And they've done that to almost everybody. So I want to ask you about the Chase Young situation. And in the Chase Young situation, he gets two games out of this. Why was this one quicker than other decisions? And I'm not saying they're wrong here. I have no problem with the fact he's playing. But why was it quicker?
That's by me. I mean, it got quick. I think a reason it may have been quicker is because they went on the offensive, and the NCAA is a little bit really trying to be student-athlete friendly, maybe too friendly sometimes, because at the end of the day, Chase Young made these decisions, right? And
yes.
If that's the dollar amount and that's what they want to go with, sure. A lot of people are questioning the timing, obviously, because the two games are games that Ohio State second stringers could probably win, quite honestly, against Maryland. And well, this week for sure against Rutgers.
Right.
But, you know, he comes right back in time for Penn State. It's made for TV drama. It's going to increase the ratings having him out there. But that's my thoughts on that. Now, if I could play a reporter for a second, you mentioned Ohio State. Is this, since Penn State has been in the conference in the 25-plus years you've been here, is this their best team, in your opinion?
Ohio State's?
Yes.
I would think that, for the most part, yes.
I agree.
And because the number of athletes that they have, and I'll start with this. They have six guys in the secondary that in many years would have been starters at Ohio State, and two of them can't start. How about that?
Well, Steve, it reminds me of the mid-90s when Penn State first came in, when 94 Penn State had a super team.
Yes.
The Cooper teams that had Eddie running between Corey Stringer and then Orlando Pace, who was incredible. I mean, the NFL talent on those teams is what they have now. but yes. I don't think they have the John Cooper factor where he couldn't close the door. So, I mean, I guess we'll find that out about Ryan Day. It'd be ironic if they went 11-0, crushed everybody, and then they go, or if it's even 10-0, because they're going to crush Rutgers and then lose to Penn State or Michigan. Because then that Cooper factor would be at work.
And but there's another element, too, here, Bill, between you and me. I think there's a depth of athleticism. See, the separator is not the starting lineups to me. It's the depth of athleticism. Deeper and more athletic at wideout. Deeper and more athletic on the defensive front. Those are some of the areas I look at. Do you see the same thing?
Sure. I mean, just because I didn't anticipate that. When I went to the Michigan State game, that was it was the middle of the season. They Michigan State ran with them for a quarter, and then that depth took over in the second quarter. And I think Penn State's probably the closest team in the Big Ten to having that depth on both sides. I think Michigan's in the neighborhood too. I mean, Michigan and there's a reason why the Michigan Penn State game was close, because those teams are close. Their talent is close. I think Ohio State has more talent than both teams. But on the flip side of this, Penn State, they played with them into the fourth. They've had them on the edge, on the brink, the last 2 years in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, they've got to go into Columbus playing with a little bit of confidence knowing that.
And to get there, though, they've got to, while Ohio State's playing Rutgers, and they thought the entire question about Ohio State came up because of Chase Young, they have to play Indiana first. Indiana's ranked now. They're 7-2, and then a bye week, playing with some confidence. Is there more? Well, sometimes Michigan State's not playing as well. But what do you think the depth is in the Big Ten in terms of the number of good teams? What's the depth in your opinion?
I had this argument at a youth basketball board meeting of all things on Sunday night. I'm in that politics of that of all things.
Good luck to you, Sean.
At the break, you would appreciate me as a flag football and youth basketball coach. I'm quite the screamer, but in terms of, let's put it up against the SEC. I think the SEC has, these are quote unquote good teams to me: LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Auburn. I think I'm done. So five.
Texas A&M.
And I think it's
Texas A&M.
They're like a second tier team.
I was only asking just to see where you were. That's all.
Do we call Iowa good or not?
Right. Okay.
I would say no. If we're going by strictly this conversation, I would say Ohio State's good, Penn State's good, Michigan's good, Minnesota's good, and I think Wisconsin's good.
Okay.
So that's five. But Wisconsin, I mean, what they had in front of them versus how far away from Ohio State they really were was kind of stunning to me.
Well, what gets me is that they seem to realize that they were far away because they went away from everything that got them success. In other words, they wanted to throw the football. Why?
Yeah, I mean, that was another game. The first quarter, it was like, okay, you've kind of got Ohio State playing the way you want to play, and then they got away from it. So that'll be the key for Penn State. That'll be the key for Penn State when they play them. I mean, Clifford can't get away from who he is. The defense is going to have to play fast. I think it's like almost like basketball in some ways. You want to limit their possessions.
Yeah.
I've been asked a lot which team I thought had a better chance of beating Ohio State, and I don't want to insult a Penn State, but I think the fact that it's at Michigan makes it a little more interesting. But at the same time, Sean Clifford's decision-making versus Shea Patterson's decision-making, I'd probably go with Sean Clifford.
Yeah. Let me ask you about when you look at Penn State, right, and they're coming off that loss. Look, this week's a playoff game for them. What do you need to see from Penn State?
A consistent running game, get that going, because that's what's going to make the difference against Ohio State, and that's really why they've been able to hang in those games. I've watched Ohio State enough this year that when they strangle the running game, it can be ball game because they force the quarterback to make big plays, and most of the quarterbacks they've played have been unable to do that. And the last 2 years, I mean, okay, Penn State doesn't have Saquon or Miles, but they've got to find a way to get a running game going in that game to have a chance. So I think that's got re-emphasis on that this week. Getting Parsons back on the field for four quarters, getting that defense recentered. They need to play with an edge. And like you said, it is a playoff game. I like their chances to kind of get recalibrated this week. I know Indiana's a great story. Tom Allen's got those guys playing super hard. At the same time, I think they're going to get a reality check this week. It's a reverse of what I just said. I think Indiana might give Michigan a decent run in Bloomington next week, but I don't know if they can do it this week.
Right. All right, let me ask you about the Big 12. Oklahoma's going to play Baylor this week. A, what do you think of Baylor? And it was another week where the Oklahoma defense, regardless of who coordinates them, is hanging on by its fingernails against Iowa State at the end.
Yeah, that was wild.
That's the game I was watching when I got back from Minnesota.
You know, the Big 12, the committee really doesn't like them. That's what we've seen. I mean, that's fact that when you have an undefeated team at 13 this late in the season, the committee doesn't think much of that conference. It doesn't think much of the strength of victory there. I think it puts Oklahoma in a tough spot because I love their offense, but I don't love their chances. So, like, if we play this out, and I talked about Penn State's path, I think the last argument's going to end up being is Oklahoma's going to win out, have one loss. Oregon's going to win out and have one loss, and Alabama's going to be sitting there at 11-1, and the committee's going to have to pick one. And which one do you think they're going to pick? I think it's going to be tough. If I had to guess, I think they're going to be compelled to take Oregon in that situation because at least they take a conference champ and one they feel good about.
Wow. Is that resume that would make a difference, or is it potentially Alabama fatigue?
A little bit of that. Well, yeah. Well, here's the thing. So, okay, you have Oregon and you have Oklahoma wearing a conference championship with one loss each, and then you have Alabama sitting there. If they take Alabama, Steve, the playoff's broken, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the point of being a Pac-12 champion at that point? What's the point of being a Big 12 champion? I think their commissioners would pitch a fit. I think it speeds up the we won eight teams process. And at the same time, I say all these things, and I sound like such a hypocrite, and this is what this sport does to us all. It does, because I think Alabama would beat both of them on a neutral field.
I agree with you. I agree with they would beat either one of those teams. And I think that when you talk about the conference champion part, it's interesting because Nick Saban has won two national championships in his run at Alabama where he didn't even win the division.
Yeah, and that's where we're at. And I think once the committee did it the first time, and you know, I enjoy Star Wars a lot. I'm trying to convince my wife to get the Disney Plus so I can watch some more Star Wars stuff. But Nick Saban has that, like that Sith-like power because you know he's going to go on SportsCenter soon, as soon as they beat Auburn and start politicking that way. And you know, it comes down to me: is the College Football Playoff Committee going to be willing to tell Nick Saban no? And he's probably the strongest voice in the sport, perhaps ever, and that's going to be tough for them to do.
How do you tell Yoda no?
yeah, I don't I guess. That's what I was going to go for the Emperor, but it sounds a little harsh with him. But this is where we're at in the sport. And Mike, and again, Mike wrote about that today, about the ridiculousness of it. And he and I like to go back and forth. I texted him this morning, Steve, and asked him if Kentucky got eliminated from the basketball tournament last night.
67-64 to Evansville. That's it. They're done. That's the big difference between college football and college basketball. Now, for example, Penn State's going to play Georgetown. So for Penn State, the relevancy of the regular season in basketball is really deep. All right. But for Kentucky and Duke and so forth, it's not. You know, right. Because you know they're playing for seeding. Penn State's fighting to get in, right? In college right. football, for the most part, in college football, each week of the regular season is like a playoff game.
Right, right, absolutely, and it makes for interesting debates the next couple weeks. I think at the end of it, though, I mean, all of this Alabama talk, and I've done it a lot this week, it has kind of overshadowed what we watched Saturday, and that was a brilliant performance by Joe Burrow, Southeast Ohio kid. Brilliant LSU performance, and brilliant kind of renovation by Ed Orgeron this season. I think Ohio State's really good. We talked about that. I think Clemson's really being undervalued. I've watched enough of them. They're really good, Steve. They've got all those skill position guys. Dabo's got them kind of playing with a chip again, which they needed. And they're better defensively than people think. So, I mean, you don't win 25 in a row by being bad at football.
No. And I think what's interesting is that there's been so much focus on Trevor Lawrence, who, by the way, has been very good. He just hasn't been, oh, my God, look how great he is. He's been really, really good. And because he hasn't been the second coming of right. whomever, it's perceived they're not playing as well.
Correct. And I think that's dangerous because he's still a quarterback that's fully capable of going out and winning two playoff games, which he proved last year, regardless of who that competition is. So, yeah, I think Clemson, Dabo's on. Dabo pours it on a little bit, and it can rub people the wrong way when he starts playing the disrespect card, but he's on to something a little bit there.
Yeah, well, you know what? We just talked about the Big 12. We know Clemson's outstanding in their own right. I mean, ATN, incredible. Ross, incredible. Their defense is really, really good. The ACC... that's the part I think that hurts them, because I don't think there's some good teams in that league, but there's not a depth of decent teams.
No, I agree. I think a lot of people treated the North Carolina game like a loss.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people treated Oklahoma-Iowa State like a loss last week. I mean, you still got to win. Football's a weird game. Almost every national championship team, not all of them, almost all of them have had that game.
2014 Ohio State comes in here. Penn State has been hit hard by sanctions, and the game went to double overtime. Ohio State survived, won the national championships. I've seen that game in person. I broadcast that game.
Yeah, it happens, and it happens to a lot of teams, and they even lose games. But I do think those three have separated themselves a little bit. Penn State's going to have to play their best game next week. And they got to do it this week, too. But they're going to have to go into Columbus and play their absolute best game to have a chance. But stranger things have happened in November. It will be interesting to see how Ohio State reacts to Penn State's defense front. And the bonus is I'm going to be there, so maybe I'll get to see you for a few minutes.
Good. I look forward to that. That'll be great. I just want one last question, and I'll let you go. In college basketball, they're splitting hairs over the 34, 35, and 36 at-large teams. In college football, they're splitting hairs over 4 and 5. Right. Is that, in the end, on selection, the biggest difference, splitting hairs over 32 through 36 versus 4 and 5?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's what we like. You know, for me, for college, and I'm a huge NFL guy, you know, I live and die with the Packers every Sunday, and right. I love the NFL playoffs, and I love the kind of like how the schedule is so, what's the word, like modular. It works. The division rivalries work. And I do love kind of the scarcity of college football. I love the fact that one versus two doesn't come along often. I love that it isn't bloated yet. Now, at the same time, you can talk me into eight. You can talk me into eight if we get the five Power Five champions in there. If we get the right at-large teams in there and we don't spend the whole season arguing over number 9, which is what we'll do, because you're exactly right, Steve, as usual. Yep. And then give me the first round on campus. Give me LSU up in Happy Valley. Give me Michigan down at Georgia in a first-round game, and I'm in. I'd totally watch that.
You know what? What's interesting is as sports continues to be a little more bloated, and I've maintained, as people know in this show many, many times, there has to be some point, and you and I doubt it'll ever happen. Sometimes less is more.
Yeah, I agree. And for the just for the simple that the more teams you put in, the greater risk there is to get away from the true champion. And, you know, in the NFL, I've watched Green Bay win the Super Bowl out of the wild card, and it was great. But
yeah,
I like the team that, you know, that Green Bay team in 96 that went 14-2 and beat everybody. I still like that one a little bit more because it felt like number one.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly. The Brett Favre team that took everybody apart.
Exactly.
Thanks so much. I really look forward to seeing you in Columbus, okay? I really look forward to it, Bill.
You guys are the best there. Take care. I'll see you.
Hey, thanks so much. Bill Bender. Oh, we're lucky to get him on the show today. What a great conversation that was. And I felt as the conversation went, I could hear the angst in you disappear, Sean.
Gone.
I feel like you're
gone
now
Gator.
Back to being Sean Carey, right? Have you noticed the people who have a lot of angst about everything? You feel like they live interim lives. All right. So,
I got time for that.
We have the second part of James Franklin's press conference coming up, and Neil Coulong here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.